I just want to say it's good to be back. Myself, John Fleming, Tessa Holmes, Brendan Norby, and Savannah Pepler, myself, were all in Tecate, Mexico last week at Ranchos de Sus Niños y Studio del Creador, and it was a great time. We're glad to be back. I do want to tell you about an answer to prayer, because we know that God answers prayers. God heals. We had a testimony not too long ago from David Grove, who shared about a miraculous healing of his foot after some things were going on with that. If you were here probably 6 weeks ago, we shared about that. Probably 3 weekends ago, I shared with you that our daughter Savannah has been experiencing some significant back pain and challenges that we've been working through and walking along the road towards healing and seeing chiropractors and doctors and all the rest. And I believe in medicine. I believe that God does those things. And I believe he just heals sometimes. And so 3 weekends ago, I told you about that. And I said, when I was on a retreat, the Lord had said to me, in 2 weeks when you're in Mexico, I'm going to heal your daughter. I'm going to heal Savannah's back. And it was just very matter of fact. Like, oh, okay, well, thanks for letting me know. And so I was excited about this. I texted Katrina. I was at Camino Island at the time on a teaching retreat. And I texted her, and she said, well, that's interesting because I just heard the Lord say the same thing to me. And I'm like, isn't that fantastic? And because Brenda's a part of our prayer team regarding Savannah's health, we texted her, and she had also said, I didn't know who it was, but the Lord had told me that someone would be healed in Mexico as well. And so we're on that trip. I'm really proud of my daughter. I think she just left. I may have to pay her for talking about her without her permission, but we were driving to a chiropractic appointment, actually, and she'd been experiencing pain in her back the week before we went. And I said, sweetheart, you know, if we go, there's a chance that you could be hurting most of the time. Do you still want to go? It was like, how dare you ask me that question? Of course we're going. Was kind of the resolve that she had returned to me, and I said, well, okay. And we went. And we arrived, and she had some pain on the first night, and she was very discouraged. And I said, well, the Lord said he was going to heal you, and we're believing for it. And that was Wednesday night, a week and a half ago. And I was up in the night 3 different times praying for her, and we woke up in the morning, and she's on this horrible bunk. It's not the new bed that we got her that's helping with her back, and I'm thinking, this could be a really hard week. And we woke up, and I saw Brenda, and I said, Brenda, how did she do last night? She goes, she's fine. There's no pain. And all week long, she had no pain at all in her back. There's a picture I want to put up here to show you that's just kind of a memory of God's faithfulness to us. This was last Sunday morning about this time. My daughter doesn't go hiking because she experiences kind of this benign discomfort and pain in her chest as well when her heart rate gets elevated. And she doesn't hike because it hurts her back. And we woke up Sunday morning and she said, we're going on the hike. And there's this 400-foot mountain with a cross on the top, just looking over the ranch in the valley. And she was sitting there alone watching the sunrise come up over the hill. And I sat down with her and I just told her how glad I was that she was growing as a missionary and the grit and resolve that she has as a young lady to work through pain. And then Tessa snapped that shot. But God is a God that heals. He desires to heal, and he will heal according to his will and good pleasure. So can we just thank the Lord for that? We're glad to be home. There's a lot that happens on the mission field. I could spend all morning just talking to you about last week, and that will come out over time. But when we do go on trips like this, if it's overseas, if we go on trips to downtown Seattle or to Rainier Valley with Hope Place or the Men's Shelter, if you still would like to do an urban mission trip locally, you can in March. We have those opportunities coming up with Seattle's Union Gospel Mission. I promise you it will be life transforming. It has been for me 16 different times, and it just continues to be so. And I want to share that with all of you. So check that out. Ask me questions if you want to go. But when we go on trips locally or globally, we stop frequently as a team to say, wow, a lot just happened. Let's talk about it for a minute, because so much happens when we go about the work of serving the Lord that needs to be paid attention to. We have to stop and reflect. Jesus, on his mission, spent much time getting away alone with the Father and saying, okay, what now? What next? What happened? What do you want me to do? I will only do what I hear you telling me to do, and so I need to be very acute in listening to your voice. And the same is true for any congregation. The thing I love the most about pastoring South Everett Foursquare is this actually doesn't feel any different today or tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday than it did previously on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday when we were in Mexico. This is a missional congregation. So every time I show up here, I feel like I'm on a mission trip. Because our congregation is so deeply connected and involved in the work of this community. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters who you're listening to and what you're doing. That's what defines missions, right? That's what defines what it means to proclaim the gospel, not just on Sunday morning with each other, but when we go out the door and be together on the field. And so this morning is not a sermon. This is our Vision Cast weekend. It's a chance to say, since we're all South Everett Foursquare missionaries, which is a term I believe that our previous pastor, Ben Ramos, coined and is on the video, and I just love it, South Everett Foursquare missionaries. This is one of those missions meetings. It's like we're on a trip together. Usually in smaller groups, we share the talking. Don't worry, I'll do the talking this morning, but I'm hoping this week and in the weeks to come, questions will come, prayer requests will come, things will come and we can have those interactions and dialogues, not just with myself, but with our leadership team, who we'll introduce in a few minutes. But this is not a sermon this morning. It's a Vision Cast morning, and I'm hoping to do five things relatively quickly. One, I want to review the commitments we made to this congregation on July 8th, 2018, when we came for the very first time. I want to review those things because, praise God, there's a lot of people in the room that have joined this fellowship that weren't here 7 months ago, and so I want to share those things. These are the commitments that my wife and I have made to the Lord. They're the commitments that we have made as we shepherd and pastor this congregation. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about our leadership team and the 8 different ministries that function in and out of South Everett Foursquare. Thirdly, I want to talk about the uniqueness of this season as our congregation. What makes South Everett Foursquare unique? Not better or worse than anything else, but God put us here on purpose for a reason. What are we doing here? I want to share about that with the bulk of our time. We're going to talk a little bit about our priorities as a congregation for 2019. And then finally, we're going to talk a little bit about the finances, which is a happy report to share with you. And Colleen Grove will be sharing that with us in just a little bit. We'll have handouts for you to just review the finances. It's really important to us that we're an open book in that regard. Taking care of the monies that the Lord has given us to steward the ministries is of utmost importance. And so you will always have access to those numbers. And today it's a happy report. We want to thank you for your faithfulness and giving. But Lord Jesus, as we dive in, Lord, for the next 35 minutes or so, Lord, we present our plan and our hope to you. We want to just say thank you first for all that you've done in seeing South Everett through a major transition in 2018. You have faithfully done that. Lord, and we need more time to adjust to change and the new things that are happening, the new faces, the new vision, the new hope, the new promise, Lord. It's all for you. And Lord, we present it to you and ask that you would lead it and guide it and direct it according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there are 7 commitments that my wife and I have made to you as the pastors of this church. I'm going to read them briefly and then comment on 3. One is that we will give you our absolute best as your pastors all the time. This is a position that we hold up to the Lord with great honor and a healthy sense of fear and trembling. We will always give you our very, very best. Secondly, we will prioritize our own relationships with Jesus, my wife and I. So time together talking about the Lord, time apart praying and reading and worshiping the Lord, that is something that we will keep first and foremost in everything that we do. We're going to, thirdly, prioritize each other, my wife and I. If we're not prioritizing one another in our own lives, then we're of no good to the rest of you. In fact, I've been reading authors recently that have kind of supposed, what if every good thing that came from a pastor to their congregation was merely an outflow of the goodness that was coming out of their marriage? And that was an interesting thought to me, that what if I had to, the only thing that would be good to the congregation was the investment I made and the overflow that came out of our marriage. That's true for all of us in ministry who are married, and there's also a component for singleness too. What if the outpouring of everything that was good came out of your relationship with the Lord? That means you have to prioritize your relationship with the Lord and with your loved ones. And so we're going to prioritize that. We're going to prioritize our children. We are going to expect that you will do the same as well. Fourthly, we're going to present and teach the Bible in our gatherings as the true and living Word of God. We will always, always do that. The true and living Word of God is under assault in our culture. And we will dig deep into His Word. We will love the poor. We will believe in social justice, and we will believe in justification, salvation by grace through faith. We will always prioritize the Word as the living Word of God, the one true, inspired, infallible book of instructions that we follow as believers. Amen? Amen. Okay. We will always be honest and forthcoming with you in our lives and things that are going on as it is pertinent. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. We're going to strive to honor and encourage each of you in your callings, because we're not here to do the work. We're here to empower the work of the ministry. That's also in the Bible, right? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And boy, that's going really well around here right now, because everybody's doing something. And a lot of people are doing multiple somethings connected with here and then just out at Starbucks working at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? Like we're South Everett Foursquare missionaries, or we're working at Costco, or we're having coffee, or we're rooting for the Rams, or somebody. Dale's doing something in the back. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I will barely watch the game today. Do you want to drop a brick on your foot or slam your hand in a door? I mean, that's kind of what it feels like rooting for the game today. Sorry. Saints were robbed. I mean, it's just... It's all grace, Dale. It's all grace. Finally, we are going to lead courageously and uncompromisingly with you as we seek the Lord to move forward together as a church family and in this community. Those are seven commitments that I, my wife, will keep to you. I keep these present posted for me so that I can see them on a daily basis. Sometimes I will do better in some than others because I ain't perfect, but I will strive for these things, and I ask for your accountability in these things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. So a couple things we want to make comments on just as we reflect and think about this congregation. One, I just want to say thank you for making it very easy to give you our best. Thank you for making that easy. You absolutely have had an enormous impact on us already in the short time that we've been here. We've found this to be a very genuine, loving group of people who you can take at their word. People do what they say they're going to do around here. They are who they say they are around here. So thank you for being genuine people of your word, and thank you for fostering rich community. When you walk into this room on any given Sunday, it's good to be in this room for the hour and a half that we are here, because it's friendly and it's loving and it's compelling, and we are growing. And the reason why we are growing is because you have created a compelling environment where people want to be, where people can be genuine and can love one another and can welcome other people in and then put their faith into practice. That's what makes a congregation grow. It's absolutely essential. So thank you for that. That is such a rich community of faith that has gathered here that we have seen at least 25 to 30 individuals join this fellowship since we have arrived. That is to your credit, to the Lord's credit, for inviting, for loving, for embracing those who have come. That equals a total of 7 families that have committed themselves to this fellowship at this time since the summer. Everyone, for the most part, I love that this is a group of people that helps. Family helps. Everybody here seems to be doing something, which is not the norm for church ministry. That a few handful of people do things, and everybody here does stuff, from volunteering with setup or worship or hospitality or children's or youth or neighborhood outreaches or giving financially or reaching out to each other in moments of need. Sometimes I'm trying to, you know, pastor this church, and so I reach out and do the thing where if someone's in trouble, I reach out to help, and they're like, oh, you know, Joe already helped me. I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, I go somewhere here, and oh, we already helped each other. We already knew about that. So I'm trying to keep up just knowing what's going on with the flock, because you guys are so good at taking care of one another. That's not normal. So thank you. I can't tell you enough. I've come from other places. That doesn't happen like it happens here necessarily, and it's one of our greatest attributes as a congregation. So that's incredible. What's really neat, I think, in this season is that our family feels like us with you now more than, I mean, that just takes time. But we have felt really embraced and loved and cared for, which is really fun. Savannah, recently she said, she comes with me every, she gets up at 6:30 in the morning and comes just to help set up because she just wants to be here. She goes, Dad, this is my favorite church we've ever been a part of. And I'm like, wow, that's great. So she loves being here. We love being here with you, and that's really important to us. So thank you also in that. Thank you for allowing us to prioritize our family. We feel like there's space to just be us with you. And so thank you for that. Healthy relationships are built upon mutuality. And simply what that means is that for a pastor to have a healthy relationship with a congregation, it has to be good news for both parties, right? I have to be, at some level, good news for this congregation. However, it's important for me to be in a relationship that this congregation must be good news for me. And every time I see each of you, it is good news. It encourages me. It lightens me. And that's really important in a relationship for a pastor to have with a congregation, is that we're good news for one another symbiotically. Like Chris was talking about in prayer this morning, that we get to be good news for the kids that all went next door because we're modeling what it looks like to be in faith. But they get to be good news to us by singing and praying and worshiping. That's mutuality in relationship. And that's what makes relationship really, really healthy. So you've allowed us to be us, and we thank you for that. You've cared to get to know us as we are caring to get to know you. The first things that I said when I came in here in July was that we will long to have history with one another. And history just takes time. There's nothing about it but time to build history. And that's happening. History is coming faster than we know. And the good news is that July, just last July, feels like a long time ago for all the right reasons. Like, wow, a lot has happened in 7 months since we've been together. I feel like we've known you for a very, very long time. And relationships are building. So that's important for us. And you'll watch me struggle with that a little bit, just in being transparent this morning, as I said that I would. People have asked me, what has been the biggest challenge about coming to South Everett Foursquare? And I've said, well, very little, because this has been an incredible experience for us. But if I've been challenged, it's in two areas. And one, it's kind of in my wheelhouse to fix, or my court to fix. One is just setting a healthy pace. I go too fast. That's what I do. And so as part of my addiction to recovery and perfectionistic tendencies, I'm learning to slow my pace, and you have all helped me with that. So thank you for that. Is that I move too quickly, and then the second thing is that I'm struggling through the challenge of learning what it means to be known. I grew up at Eastside Foursquare. I got there when I was 11. I stayed till I was 37. So I was in one place and had the luxury of being known over a very long period of time. Going to Seattle's Union Gospel Mission, I had a lot of relationships. I knew the context. People knew who I was. And then I came to a brand new place. And I'm like, wow, I really want to be known, and I just don't know how to make that happen as fast as I want. And I want to know all these people, and I just, again, now we're back to the pace thing, right? Like, you have to pace yourself. It takes time. I say that more for me than for you. But that's something else you can pray for me about, is just pacing myself and finding ways to be known. That's really, really important. It's another reason why we're going all the way to Seattle when we could do ministry in Everett, is because I want to take many of you to a place where I grew up and spent time. Because I want to share that. It's a big part of why I want us to go, is to show you where I learned how to love Jesus like I did. And so that's a lot of what's going on with that. But thank you for that. Finally, the point I want to talk about, and I already did a little bit, was that we'll be honest and forthcoming with you as things arise in our lives. And so just briefly, I want to share something that I have been reluctant to share up until this point, I don't know why. But my mom's health is not good. She has been fairly sick for the last 7 years with varying stages of onset of neurological disorders. It hasn't been diagnosed yet, but she can barely walk at this point. And now her memory is starting to fade a little bit. And I'm an only child, and so there's a great intensity in that we have been her caregivers for the last 7 years. Since a year ago, we have moved her twice, once from an assisted living facility into an adult family home. She improved a little bit, so we moved her back to an adult an assisted living facility. Then Monday we got home this last week from Mexico, and we found out we're moving her back to an adult family home. And it wears on my soul because I love my mom. And if any of you have worked or cared for those who have dealt with neurological disorders or dementia disorders, it can be very, very taxing. And so we're in the middle of that, and I just want you to know it. We love being here, and we appreciate that there's grace afforded when some days you just got to do some stuff. And so we appreciate the support that we have. She has good medical care. We have a good plan in place, but if you would just pray for her. She's been here on two occasions. Some of you may have met her. Her name is Marlena. She's a wonderful woman, and we're just trying to care for her well. So when things like that come up in our lives, we want to just let you know for no other reason than, hey, we love you, and we're part of the family, and we want to share those things. Amen? Amen. So thank you. Those are the personal commitments. If you'd like those at some point, I can get them to you. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about the ministries of South Everett Foursquare. There's a picture of our leadership team that will pop up here. This was Christmas time, minus Pastor Chris Nixon, who I think was in Kansas or something. So her mom was standing in her place. So if you just look at that team and you turn Ann into Chris, that's your leadership team. Can we give a hand for the leadership team at South Everett Foursquare? My goodness, thank God for them. At Eastside, our lead pastors, Jim Hayford and DJ Vic, at different times would always say, we're so thankful for the team. We're so thankful for the team. We just love the team. And I'm like, well, that's nice to say. And I think by the second Sunday I was here, I was like, thank God for the team. Because this doesn't happen. Good leaders just help other people be better leaders, and if they weren't here, I would look like a horrible leader, because there's so much to do here. Not only the leadership team, but then everyone else. Thank you to all of you. Like I said, this is a family. Nothing that happened in here, because this room was an empty shell at 7 a.m., and by 9 a.m. it was this, and by 2 p.m., this will be an empty shell again. And that doesn't happen without all of you. And so thank you for serving. Thank you for giving. I just want to cover these ministries relatively quickly. We have 8 areas of ministry, and I'll go through them. Hospitality ministries, worship ministries, children's ministries, youth ministries, men's and women's ministries, missions and outreach, individual care ministries, and facilities ministries. There's a lot that happens here at South Everett. Beginning with hospitality ministries, Colleen Grove. Can we thank Colleen? Oh my goodness. Not only is she great at hospitality, she's great at strategizing. And so she and I get together for 1 hour to do strategy sessions. We're like, okay, 3 hours has gone by. But just strategizing about how do we be good news to the community? How does the community be good news to us? Since July, we've had more than 150 guests come and spend time with us. 87 of those people are friends of ours that have come from other congregations and have visited from time to time. But there are 50 others that weren't friends of ours who have showed up during that time and have given us their contact information. 25 of those 50 would say that this is now their church home. 12 more of those 50 still visit on occasion. And there are more than 25 who had visited but have not given us their contact information. And so, why do we track? Like, why is it so important that we track these numbers? It's not so much about the numbers, really, as much as it is about the fact that people matter the most. We track numbers only because they represent people with names and stories that need to be in a family somewhere. And if we can be that, we want to be that. And so we will continue to track those things. Colleen helps with those things. Chris helps with those things. They're constantly following up. In fact, some of you in this room might have said, yeah, I received a follow-up phone call from somebody when I came here, and now you're a part of this with us. So we're glad you're here. It's really, really exciting. Colleen Grove leads a team and operates out of the conviction that people matter most. And so I'll get phone calls from friends that showed up on weekends we weren't here saying, we didn't see you, but golly, we saw Colleen and she was amazing and she called us. And it's so she just leads her team that way. When people show up, they feel like they're loved, and that's what it means to be the church. So secondly, worship ministries led by Chris Tien and Chris Norby. Can we give them a hand? Oh my goodness. Holy smokes. I will say this, it's just as important that our musical exhortation of the Lord be as theologically concise and sound as our teaching and our preaching. That is essential And that is what these gentlemen and those who join them do. We take these things for granted until it isn't there. They do a number of things. They prepare throughout the week. They're seeking the Lord. They're reading the scriptures. They're praying about what songs that we should sing and how they tie into the messages. And so there's preparation that happens, just like preparation happened in the temple. You know, you couldn't have an encounter with God in the Old Testament unless you prepared and sacrificed something. And our worship teams, not just our leaders, but all who are a part of that team, are constantly preparing and they're constantly sacrificing. And we want to thank them for that because they model what it means to have a heart of worship. They'll stop in the context of worship and observe what the Lord is saying to us in our midst. That's so much more difficult than just singing a list of songs. And that's what I love about our worship leaders. They pastor us as much as I do. And then the posture that our worship leaders take before the Lord. You almost don't notice when they're up here, and that's a really good thing. You almost just don't even know that they're here. So three things, right? Preparation, observation, posture. This team is growing in number and in some musical skill and ability, which is really great, very exciting. So thank you, worship team, for what you guys do. Brenda Norby, leading children's ministries. I tell you what, Brenda.
Can we give a yell for my rush? Yeah.
I hesitated to tell her this, but it's the way that I lead is open-handedly. And I've told Brenda, you could be a children's pastor at any church in our denomination and probably other denominations. You could go to the bigger, they can pay you something. But she's not even a secret because I brag about her to other churches, and sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, we might lose her, and well, she's not ours, right? You know, like. But for now, we have an incredible children's pastor. She disciples our kids and she leads our children into experiences with Jesus, not just about Jesus. It's fantastic. Children's Ministries continues to grow. Thank you to so many who go over there on a regular basis and serve. It's fantastic. Enough so that now she can come once a month and sit in here, which was not something that she was able to do previously. So thank you for that, for making that space. We're going to come back to youth ministries in a few minutes. Men's and women's ministries, Chris Nixon and Ryan Sims and Hal Covey. Can we give them a hand? Every Tuesday night we get together and we grow in relationship, we grow deeper in the Word, and more now we're growing in community connection. Last Tuesday night the men did not get together and study the Word. They got together and lived the Word in this room, spending time with young people. Some of our friends in the back, it was awesome. We just connect here, we hang out, we play silly games, and I got a text from Ryan Sims at the end of the night. He said it ended awesome. Not a single young man who came to join the men's group out of City Life left without prayer. And so that's what's happening, is that young people, men and women, are getting prayed for, they're getting discipled. And I would say, Adam and Nevaeh and Vaughn and all the rest of you, you're discipling us. So thank you for that. You're teaching us. That's what makes that a mutually healthy relationship, is that we're learning from one another depending on what time of day it is and what it is that we're talking about. So thank you for men's and women's ministries. I will say this, that I cannot fulfill the call that Jesus Christ has put on my life without other men holding me accountable. And that goes for women too. And so if you're in a season of life where you have no one that's holding you accountable in your walk with Jesus, make sure you get somebody. Don't do it alone, because it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. So thank you to both of you guys for what you're doing and for Hal and all that you're leading. Missions and Outreach, which is also led by Chris Nixon. Yeah, we can give her another hand. Pastor Chris Nixon, she is a licensed pastor of this denomination, and I just want everyone to know that. If you don't already, she's licensed. She operates in the full gifts, except for the gifts of reimbursement or W-2 at the end of the year. But she's operating in all the other gifts, and that's what makes her so critically important. But I want everyone to know that she has been anointed by God to teach the Word, to be a pastor, to be a shepherd, to be a missionary, to be a small group leader, and you could pastor any congregation. You are anointed by the Lord, and we thank God that you are here doing it with us, because it's really fun to do this with you. So thank you for that. We're doing outreach with Casino Road Kids Ministries, City Life, Hand in Hand, Global Ignite Ministries here locally. Globally, we're working with Studio Del Creador in Tecate, Mexico, partially also Rancho de Sus Niños, where we were last week. I wish I had more time to talk about it now. But we also partner with Amos in Parte in Myanmar. My hope is to get there at some point in the next 12 months to visit with them, because now I have a heart and an understanding for what we're doing in Mexico. And I want to take many of you to that. Myanmar is a lot further and a lot more expensive. So we'll do that at some point, but I do want to be able to know more about their life. We sent a team with Colleen and with Dave, or with John Fleming and with Chris a couple years ago to visit with them, which was fantastic. Just a word back from Studio Del Creador, which is the art and music studio that we partner with. I think, is there a picture of that, Zach? I gave you one at the last minute. This was from last week. Savannah and I, this is Natalie and her husband Francisco, who pastors the church. He's in a wheelchair because before he came to Jesus, he was shot and paralyzed while he was in a gang. But he came to Jesus, now he pastors a church from a wheelchair. It's super cool. And so they're in Tecate. We support them on a regular basis annually. To the tune of about $600 as a congregation. And we gave an extra gift. I told you there was extras to give away at the end of the year and so on. I saw Natalie last week. She said, thank you. That was so unexpected. Would you please thank your congregation for the gift that has come? But she said this kind of like with some swag. She said, you know, there's nothing like the studio here anywhere in Tecate. Nothing where kids in the city can experience the creative essence of their maker through art and music. We're finding new ways to express the hope of the gospel here. So that's a part of the ministry that the Lord is doing, and we get to be a part of it. If financially, if you want to go visit at some point, we can totally make that possible too, whether it's a larger team or you just want to go with a smaller group. Either way, we can make that happen. Individual care ministries. I call this curveball ministries. It's like when you're in life and the Lord throws you a curveball and something happens that you didn't want to happen. Individual care ministry is chaplaincy. It comes alongside people in their most intimate moments of pain and celebration. So that covers things that churches do that we forget the churches do until we need them, like visiting people in the hospital or doing marital and life coaching or making recommendations to counseling or doing weddings or hugging babies or doing funerals. These are all things that happen in the life of a church. Benevolence ministries, when people don't have the funds to pay their light bill. We can't help with that in excess, but we can help a little bit, and the Lord takes care of those things. Facilities ministries. David Grove, can we give a huge hand to David? My goodness. David and Colleen have just stood in the gap through a lot of transitions here and are just such an incredible part of this congregation and what they do and how they give and their servant hearts and just the friendship that they bring. Facilities Ministries is kind of the oversight, the tenant oversight for Hand in Hand, who we sublet from. So it's a little business stuff. We sublet from the ministry Hand in Hand, which means we pay them rent and then they pay Child Strive rent. Child Strive is the building that we are currently in. And so we rent from this facility at $1,000 a month, which is a screaming deal. Most churches are into $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, even that are our size. So just know that all of those funds get to go do things like fund Natalie and Francis go instead of funding the light bill and the carpets. So we are in a very, very good situation here with the amount of rent that we are paying so that we can do more ministry. So David has overseen some of that stuff, just making sure that that relationship is good. This role oversees the full oversight of stewardship of all of South Everett Foursquare's liquid assets. So everything that we own essentially is overseen and make sure that it's stewarded well and that this music stand gets back to where it needs to at the end of the day. He's here for setup and for teardown, and that's from 7:30 a.m. or even earlier, or even last night, as the case was last night, to 1 p.m. 7:30 to 1 p.m., the facilities team here is doing what the facilities team does to keep us going in the right direction. That also oversees the audio and the visual teams in the back, and just making sure that everything runs out without a hiccup. So with that said, David is going to be taking a much-deserved and much-needed just rest from leading this team after leading it for 3 or 4 years. I would say that this team functions in large part very well without him at this point, and that's a testimony to his leadership. That's what leaders do. They step out of the way so others can lead. And so I've wanted him to not show up on a few Sunday mornings just so that when we tell you that he won't be doing this as he has been doing it, you'll be like, oh, okay, I think we're learning how to do this well. We've approached a number of members in the congregation about stepping up into some of those roles. We're dividing those roles because it's a lot, and David can do a lot more than most of us. So that's why we're dividing that down. So audio will be a team, visual will be a team, and then we'll come under the leadership of worship ministries, and then setup will be its own team. And so if you will know at this point if we've approached you about leading in those areas. We ask you to continue to prayerfully consider it. If you're in a place where you're like, oh, David's stepping down, maybe I can step up a little bit into a space and fill a gap, then please come talk to me, because that will be really, really helpful. And one other thing, I want to show you a couple more pictures. We tore down our old shed last week. This is really good news. This was our broken down little shed that we kept everything that we owned in. And some mornings we'd show up and it'd kind of look like this because someone broke the cheap lock and pilfered through everything that we had. So imagine coming to set this up and finding all your junk outside. This wasn't the case this day. But we took everything out of that shed. Next picture. We tore the shed apart. Thank you, Paul Roberts, for coming and helping us get his hands all bloody and cut that thing up. Next picture. And then 2 weekends ago, we had this Connex container, totally vented, totally dry, totally secure, dropped in that same spot. Last picture. There's two happy guys that the shed is in place. So give a hand for that. That's awesome. We're in a financially sustainable place to be able to make some decisions like this, to do things like this. And we will have other places and ways to spend those monies. As we're continuing to roll vision out, we're learning where we're putting those places, but you'll hear more a little bit about our financial situation soon. I'm going to have to skip most of what I want to say here in regards to uniqueness. But what I do want to say is that your leadership team is working very diligently right now to hear the Lord for the unique thing that South Everett Foursquare Church is supposed to do. Together, we're working on identifying our own strengths, our own core values and behaviors, and our own priorities as individuals as kind of a warm-up. We've been doing that for the last 4 months. About 3 weeks ago, we turned the corner to say if South Everett Foursquare was an entity, a personified entity that we wanted to identify the strengths, the core values of, the core behaviors of, and the priorities of, your leadership team right now is working diligently on establishing those things so that we can present them to you by early summertime, and then really digging in down into the fall of saying, this is what we're about, this is who we're doing this with, and this is what we're doing this for. And so that's going on. It's really exciting. What I know for sure is that my experiences at Eastside Foursquare, my wife's experiences at King's, my experiences at Seattle's Union Gospel Mission say that the mission field serves as a marvelous platform on which disciples of Jesus Christ are built. That's why you are seeing us become a much more connected, deeply connected interrelationally with multiple organizations and the city, because we believe that we exist on mission. I just told you this was a mission trip, right? And so that disciples are built on those principles, on those purposes, and it is ours to be the presence of Jesus to those who need a touch from the Lord, including ourselves. That's really, really important for us to understand, that we are a missional congregation. We find ourselves at the epicenter of an exciting missional context on Casino Road, and we are defined in large part not by what we do together just on Sundays, but what we do apart from Sundays in the city and with our neighbors. And this, what's happening here, right now, fuels that. This fuels that and drives us back to this. That's just kind of how that works. Does that make sense? All right. There's some things the Lord is saying to us. I can get these descriptions to you later, but it's important to know that the Lord has said to us that we are to breathe life on the dreams of the families in this neighborhood. The misconception says that we need to come in and teach people how to dream. No, we just need to come in and clear some room so people who already have dreams can access them and every resource that they need. So we are here on Casino Road to do exactly that, to breathe life onto the dreams of this neighborhood. We are a watering source in the neighborhood. That was a prophetic word that was prayed over us. I don't have time. I'm moving through this a little bit quickly, but we can come back to this at another time. And we're also an uncommon fruit developing uncommon unity founded in multicultural foundations. That's a word from Ben Dixon that came from us. We are collecting these things. And as we meet as a leadership team, this is what the Lord is saying. And we're trying to reconcile all of this together. Amen? Amen. Okay. Still with me for a few more minutes. All right. Top priorities. I will move through this fairly quickly. Top priorities for 2019 as a congregation. One is that the leadership team will continue to work on identifying the core strengths of the congregation, the core values and behaviors. What do we value and what do we do about it? Of South Everett Foursquare, and learning what it means that we are a unique church. There's another picture I think that we can throw up there. Is you got that book picture? Or was that one up there already? Church Unique? Did that pop up? Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Just leave it. There we go. We just bought this book for the leadership team and how missional leaders cast vision, capture culture, and create movement. This is a well-recommended read, and we will be going through this. If you want to take a look at it, too, if you're not on the leadership team, you can get a copy of that, Church Unique. But basically, it's saying is every congregation has a place and a purpose on purpose, anointed by God, to not be exactly like the other guy up the street. Right? We are who we are because God made us that way. So we're going to be talking about that, what it means that we are a unique congregation. Secondly, we're going to be deepening and defining our relationships with Mill Creek Foursquare. That's important because they support us in many, many, many ways. And we want to support them too. We want to find ways to be good news back to Mill Creek Foursquare the way that they're good news to us. So we'll be defining that relationship more thoroughly. We'll be defining further defining the relationships with Casino Road Kids Ministries, with Hand in Hand and City Life. Tyrone and myself and Todd and Chris Cruz are already talking about getting together to say what would it look like for us to just be more in sync with one another. Still unique independent organizations, but like the Seahawks in the backfield, right? They're old. The Legion of Boom. Like maybe we could be the Legion of Boom of, you know, Casino Road, but knowing how we work together because we're serving the same kids and we're not competing as ministries in the same neighborhood, but just knowing, oh, this would be good for Tyrone to do, or you know what, Todd would be really good at this, or you know what, we think City Life would be the best. We want to know each other well and grow deeply in those relationships. We'll be defining those. We'll be addressing ministry to our middle school students at South Everett Foursquare. More of them are coming, and so we're having active conversations of what that might look like. And then finally, partnering with Casino Road, Connect Casino Road to transform this facility. We are going to get moved for a little bit sometime this spring and or summer. I don't know quite where we're going yet, if it's the elementary school or if it's the park or if it's my house or Nathan Roberts' house. We're going somewhere this summer because this space is being transformed, and we can throw a couple pictures of this up here if you have them. So this is what's going to happen to our space, is that they're going to knock out the offices over there, and the primary entrance is going to take place on the other side of this wall. There's going to be more doors. This is going to be the space that's immediately out there, if you can see that. Next picture. That's the courtyard. There's going to be a bunch of work done out there to create more of a communal space. And then finally, that's a picture of walking in the doors. We're right on the other side of there. So the good news is our space is going to get a lot nicer, and we don't have to pay for it. Sound all right? The trade-off is that it's going to get a little hairy this summer, and we need you to stick around for it at the park or for Nathan Roberts' house or wherever it is that we happen to be meeting as a congregation. We get that, and the cost is we're going to be disrupted for a little while. I don't quite know when yet. We worked with Connect Casino Road, which oversees all of this ministry and all these nonprofits, and we are just waiting. I meet with them once a month on a Tuesday, and we say, when's it going to happen? They're like, well, not quite yet. We're waiting on the grants. We're waiting on this, and we're waiting on that. So just know at some point in time, we're going to be moved for an undetermined amount of time, maybe up to 2 months. So we're going to be flexible. We're going to do it together as missionaries. I will keep you as informed as I am about that process. Sound good? All right. That's what we're doing. Colleen, can you come? Give a hand to Colleen. In fact, she's going to share very quickly about the financial state of our church, and then we're also going to do something. In fact, we're going to do this first. We're just going to make stuff up as we go along a little bit because we're a congregation. The reason why, what that means is that Colleen represents South Everett Foursquare on the board, or the council, which is like the board of directors for Mill Creek Foursquare Church. We have a representative that sits on that council. That is Colleen. It has also been for the last 4 years Art Walter. Art, can you wave your hand? Thank you. And his wife Katie. That means that they go to meetings to make sure that we stay financially accountable as pastors and leaders. So they approve the budgets. Everything that we spend money on gets approved by the council. They pray, they advise. Different than elders of a church that might advise on ministry matters, the council members are primarily exist within the context of the Four Square denomination as financial overseers. And so you can serve on a term. Art just finished two full terms. That's 4 years of service. Colleen has finished 2 years of service, and we need to ratify her again to serve for another year. Now, I'm just going to be fully open with you that at some point we're going to figure out what membership looks like around here, but according to the bylaws of Foursquare, we need all the members to ratify Colleen, but we don't actually have any members according to the Foursquare bylaws, which is cool with Chris Manginelli, which is cool with the Northwest District Supervisor, Administrator, Casey, what's his name? JC. JC, right, thank you. Yeah, there was a church administrator as well. She knows, I probably said this wrong, she can correct me. But we got the thumbs up to just say, if y'all are okay with Colleen serving again for another year, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Perfect, all right. So with that said, our continuing council member Colleen is going to tell you about the finances. Thank you.
So one thing, we're going to go on speed drive. So if you have questions later, you can come see me or Art or Pastor Chris here. But one thing that I want to reiterate, and this is a big deal, in that our continual commitment to you as a church, from Mill Creek to South Everett Foursquare to Terrace Foursquare, from the councils on down, is that we desire to be fully transparent. And our books are open. So if you have any questions, it's not like you have to feel like, oh, they're not going to tell me because that stuff is done behind closed doors. There is one thing that you can't know. You can't know what your neighbor gives. But you know the good thing about that? That means your neighbor can't know what you give. So it's a good thing. But other than that, because we really, in all seriousness, giving is a source, is a part of worship. And worship isn't between you and your neighbor. Worship is between you and the Father. So we honor and protect that. But it takes all of us, as our worship joins together, to be able to have a healthy report like what I get to walk you through today. All right, let's open it up. We're gonna go on speed drive here. So if you look at it, there's a balance sheet. We've tried to make this, well, John Sanguinet, who is our finance director, and he sits at the Mill Creek, but he handles the books for all of our congregations. And can I just say, John Sanguinet is amazing. I don't know if any of you have met him yet. If you haven't, he's a man worth knowing. But secondly, pray for him, because he is a gift. To us. When we come as a council, and Art will be able to testify to this, he has the financials laid out. He walks us through it at every meeting. He has answers for every one of our questions, and we have questions. And as he walks us through, he's amazing. Anyway, this report isn't all about John Sanguinet, but I just wanted to give a little plug, because I'm a big fan. So one thing about this balance sheet, when you look into a balance sheet, you're going to see assets and then you will see liabilities. And what you want to have happen at the end is that it balances. I'm happy to report ours balances. This is awesome. So the assets from our checking account, we have almost $14,000. In our savings account, we have just over $94,000. And then we have our prepaid expenses, $1,000, which is something that we paid ahead into the account. Anyway, so we have a total of $109,137.41. We look at our liabilities, and it says zero, because we don't have any loans, and we don't have any mortgages. That's another bonus for being and meeting in this facility. Because many churches, that number throws everything off because their mortgages are so heavy. So we're in a good spot right now. And then I wanted to break down a little bit on the assets, what goes into that $109,000. There are restricted money, which means that it is money set aside for specific things, just like we were talking with the different ministries that we reach out for. The missions money is restricted for that. We have 3 months in reserves. So I want to tell you, when you guys set up your family budgets, you want to have a backup plan. Because it does rain here, and it does, you do need that rainy day finances. And I think all of us can tell stories of times that we didn't necessarily have it, and what stress that puts on you and your family. As a church, as a council, we have been committed to keep 3 months' amount of monies in reserves that would cover us for 3 months. So great. We have another $14,000 in a building fund so that when it comes time that we're needing to do some work on the facility, we're slowly building that up as well. Oh, and the container came out of that. We bought it. Yeah, and we can take it with us when we move. Or our driveway, actually, if we want to be real here. Unrestricted money is money set aside for savings. Then it says, it talks about restricted earnings, and that part of that savings in our savings account has been accumulated from years that we've been faithful stewards. The folks that have been on the financial committee before myself, before Art, before South Everett was a part of Mill Creek, have been faithful and use wisdom and stewardship. So we get to live in the blessing of wisdom before us. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is that with finances, so we have a nice balance, nice healthy, not huge, but growing. But there's that tension between wanting to walk in financial stewardship, but also, you don't want to just sit on a whole bunch of money when people are dying, you know? So as a leadership team, as a council, we're always in prayer to get that balance right, that we're able to be generous, which we are, and then able to also be prepared for those rainy days. Next slide, the income and expense. So our operating income is the funds that it takes to run South Everett Foursquare on a daily basis. So our tithable offerings that have come in was $142,914.72. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Yay! Amen. And that is because you guys, it's already been said, but you guys are faithful and you guys are generous. Not only with your finances, but with your time. God honors that. And he multiplies it. So good. Then we have had support, a little bit of support from Mill Creek when we were, they were helping fund Victor, when Victor was on. And then $35.43 says program-related income. That is the kids. That's the offering that they, when they give their pennies and give their nickels, it adds up. And there you go. It counts. So our total income was just over $152,000. Then jumping down to the operating expense, you see this ICFG tithe, this $14,000, which is 11% of our operating income. That is, we tithe as a church. So as a body, individuals, we tithe as unto the Lord. And then as a church, we tithe to Foursquare. And it helps them to help in the orchestration of things. And then they give out as well. But one thing that Foursquare, and I talked about it last year, that has been very committed to is to being able to give back part of that tithe. So we may tithe $14,000, but out of that, 10% of that, they give back to us through a program called Reimagine. And I'll show you how it looks a little in a few minutes. Then we've got the ministry team with salaries and benefits and other expenses. We have the $1,000 a month lease. And then we have facilities, which is just over $3,000. And you're like, what is David Grove spending money on? Well, as it was mentioned earlier, there are a lot of things that fall under facilities, including the sound and audiovisual. So we've needed 2 laptops this year. We've had snakes, so that, and not like a snake that's icky, but a snake that you can put the cords in so that we can hear our worship team. You know, it takes cords and knobs and buttons and to be able to hear and to be able to communicate. And so that's what that comes out of that. And then ministry, just over $11,000, that was for the different ministries that he already broke down and went through. Benevolence giving, we were able to give $1,100 just out, just because there was a need. And as Pastor Chris mentioned earlier about how he's like going to go help, and they're like, hey, we already been helped. So we've actually given more than that. That's just what is out of our budget. So total expenses, just under $126,000. And then we transferred $1,800. And then we had planned, I want to tell you just a little bit about restricted income with missions. We had planned to give $1,800 for missions. And instead, we were able to give out $5,200 because of your generosity to the ministries he mentioned earlier. And then there's a restricted expense. I'm going to jump down to this $4,600. That's the money from Foursquare that is returned to us, and we're able to use it for missions. And we're going to tap into that for a VBS program that we're doing this summer. Can't go into it very much, but Danielle is leading the charge, and we're going to be able to bless this community for a whole week. Hundreds of kids. I'm so excited. So that's something put on your calendars. And we're doing it in the evening so everyone can help. So all that being said, bottom line, we came out with a positive of almost $28,000. Positive is good.
Thank you. Another hand for Colleen for all that she does. Thank you. Like she said, I worked for a guy at Seattle's Union Gospel Mission named Jeff Lilly, who said, we will not sit on a pile of cash while people die in the street. And there's a fine line there of really stressing ourselves. But we're in a season two where we have these funds, and we know that we will be using these funds. We're just not exactly sure how to do it quite yet. But there is a plan being developed to see those funds put in place, and it could be big. It could be big things over long periods of time, and that's going to require finances. As I've shared the vision of this congregation with other congregations in our division, from Mukilteo all the way out to Lake Stevens to Everett down to Mill Creek, we've had people say the vision that your congregation is coming up with is compelling, and we will fund it. So dream with us as other congregations look to use this reimagined money that's kicked back from the denomination to be used for planting churches and raising up missionaries. Other congregations are saying, wow, it seems like you guys are doing something really great that money could go to. So just pray that way, too, that the Lord would tell us exactly how we're supposed to do it. I've told the City Life students already that part of the way that they will mentor us is to be in meetings with the leadership team to say, you tell us. You tell us what this neighborhood needs. And so we will continue to lean into the young leaders of this neighborhood to find out how to be the best stewards of those resources to see the gospel proclaimed. Amen? Thank you for the extra 12 minutes you gave us this week. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would... God, first we just say thank you. Lord, so good to be a part of this family. Thank you for Lord, giving us resources beyond what we need. And Lord, we know that's an indication that we need to listen closely because you're about to tell us what we are to do with it. Lord, give us more. Not that we can drive fancier cars and go on crazier vacations necessarily, but just that we might see people come to know you. As Chris had that interaction with his neighbor this morning, Jesus, you're coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus, but may as many know your name. Lord, use these resources. Lord, send your church this week into the highways and the byways and the corners and the offices and the homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I would say go somebody, but I don't care who wins today. It's just rough. God bless you, church. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.